sit down, boys. Have I got a treat for you?
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the digital soup. We are the digital soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
All right, welcome back to Digital Soup. The only podcast rooting for Thanos when he goes toe-to-toe with that Night King.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You saw that art?
Oh, yeah. That's why I brought it up, man.
What? No? I've got it. Someone, it wasn't Boss Logic, though. It was
some other guy, but it looked awesome. Look
around Q, I think.
And oh, Q? Like from Star Trek Next Generation?
I think it's an artist called Around Q, all one word, on Instagram.
That's not the one I saw with
the Night King facing off against Thanos. Good stuff. We can't talk about it. Adam hasn't seen either of those yet.
So zip it.
So
zip it good.
No spoilers, but what do you guys say? By the time Adam sees it, we'll be a week or so out from the movie.
Yep.
What do you think we do a full-on spoilerific Endgame talk?
Once he does see it?
Right.
Yeah, I say let's cover it. We can give it a good 20 minutes or so. Yeah. Or it might turn out to be the whole hour. Maybe we'll extend it to 2 hours. Is that what you're kind of thinking?
I don't know about that, but
3, make it equally as long as the movie.
Oh, 3 hours and 9 minutes. Oh. Well, that movie could have been 1 hour and 10 minutes and it would have kicked butt.
Well, listeners, I'm your host, Adam, and on the second and third mics today, we have Jason and usually Dave. How's it going, fellas?
What's up, my White Walkers?
He says that, but he's never even seen the show past season 1.
It's season 2, episode 1, finished.
Ooh.
Pretty far in there.
Yeah, yep. they're just on episode, going on to episode 4 of season 8.
Is it 8 already? I thought it was 6.
So you've
6.
Seen as much Game of Thrones as Dave has seen Walking Dead.
No, I've seen 1 episode more because he never made it to season 2. Oh.
No, I gave up on it.
What a loser. I'm sorry, man. I got to call them like I see them.
So what's up with the box office record here?
The box office?
Yeah.
You mean like Mike
the boxes?
Tyson or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I hear Avengers are doing pretty good. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, yeah. Avengers is taking all the money.
Really? Every dime?
Basically.
All proceeds go to Disney?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're shattering records left and right. And because they released this film in China and the U.S. and worldwide, basically, on the same weekend, this movie's already sitting at about a $1.2 billion opening weekend.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though, because it did cost us $7.6 billion to create. So,
no, it didn't.
Yes, and that was just Scarlett Johansson's take.
Yeah, right. Right. No, in 5 days.
I was trying to think of a bit player that made a lot of money.
In 5 days, hit the $1 billion mark. They're looking at about $350 million domestic in the U.S., another $859 million global box office. So it is just killing it.
Dang, man. As Dave's kids would say, that's cray-cray.
Well, no, my kids would not say that.
I have seen their YouTube videos. They say cray-cray.
Also, they don't have YouTube channels.
Dang it. 0-2.
That's you a know, lot of money. Wow.
What's crazy with this movie, now, we don't want to get into it because, like we said, Adam hasn't seen it. We're not going to spoil it for him. But they've gone in and taken this, 22 films now, 10-plus years, all to tell basically one little side story, if you think of it that way.
Do you think, though, when it first started out, that was their scope, their plan, or do you think it just evolved over time?
Well, remember in those early, early movies, we got hints of Thanos already. I think their original plan was to get the Avengers going, which they did. That because there was what, two Iron Man movies, a Captain America, and what else was there to start it off? I forget off the top of my head. But I think by the time they got things rolling, yeah, they had this because they're going to call this when I think I saw this somewhere that once everything's, you know, finished and on DVD and everything, this whole arc, this 22 film arc is going to be referred to as the Infinity Saga.
Is that a string of comic books?
No, the comics, the story it's based on is the Infinity Gauntlet story. Now, each movie, you know, all the individual solo movies have their own storylines, but this whole Thanos Avengers business, that's part of that Infinity Gauntlet story. And that's what they're working on, you know, what they just completed, basically. And you think of it, Marvel's done these special event movies, or not movies, but comic runs. I believe they do them in the summertime, and they've done them for, what, 20, 30 years now? So, in reality, they've got tons of content where they can build to these one big event. So it's kind of interesting to see.
And, you know, they started it way back in 1998, but I'm trying to figure out the correlation of how it merged from that original film into where we are today in the MCU. I'm very confused.
As far as what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen Sean Connery or Uma Thurman in any of the recent ones.
Hey-o!
Yeah, zinger.
You see what I did there?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, it was called the Avengers. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, though, the box office numbers. Now, I've seen a little bit online people very upset about this, saying, yeah, everyone cheer for the huge box office records while it's killing the film industry. What? And
why is it killing the film industry?
Well, the idea being that basically Disney and Marvel are just on their you know, super storming path of becoming a monopoly in the film industry, where no one else can get a movie that does any good because Marvel's taking all the money. And it's like, well, I don't know about that. They're putting out good films that people are enjoying watching. Why are they at fault for that?
Yeah, that's just crybabies, you know.
Yeah.
Watchers want to watch my show. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie.
No, we're only supposed to enjoy indie movies that are super deep, and by this movie promulgating its awesomeness and everybody going to see it, it just takes away from those more special movies.
Well, see, a lot of people feel that if the actors, then it's going to be a sucky movie. It has to be somebody you never heard of that was probably washing dishes just, you know, prior to filming.
Well, the thing is, you look at these Marvel movies, and they haven't all been fantastic.
No, they haven't.
You know, some of them have been a little less fun than the others. But when you look at the storytelling and the planning and the detail and intricacy that goes into these movies, where stuff is building off of, you know, things from, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'd argue that they are pulling off some pretty masterful storytelling, and they're tapped in completely to the, you know, culture today, where everyone loves, you know, the comics and superhero stuff, even though I think in large part they're responsible for creating that, you know, that twist, you know, that turn, because they started putting out such good movies. I mean, when you look at most of these characters prior to the MCU, comic book fans were going to know them, and some people were going to, you know, even if they weren't huge fans, they would recognize Iron Man and Captain America, but the average person wasn't going to know anything about all these other characters, Vision and, you know, Scarlet Witch. And
I didn't know any of them.
Right.
But it was you guys and the movies that told me about them.
Right. And so Marvel has done a fantastic job of taking arguably their B or C squad when you look at it, because the real popular characters, you know, in teams have always been the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man. And what Marvel did is, I mean, granted, Spider-Man has made his way into the MCU now, mm-hmm. kind of, because he's still owned by Fox, but
I thought Sony owned Spider-Man.
Or, Sony. Sorry, not Fox.
Nerd cred gone.
Sorry, I misspoke. But no, Sony still owns him, and they get him for one more movie here this summer. But I mean, aside from that, they've taken essentially their C squad team and made them into their varsity. you know, and turn this into a franchise that everyone really connects with these characters for the most part.
Well, and yeah, I mean, you were mentioning like the Fantastic Four and stuff, but the, you know, a movie that starred a whole bunch of
Fantastic Four and stuff.
The Fantastic Four.
These imports stuff. Are great. It's Fantastic Foreign stuff. I love it.
No, what I'm trying to say is Guardians of the Galaxy.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Exactly. Was a much better movie, I believe, than either of the Fantastic Four movies.
Oh, by far.
And that was a lesser known property than the Fantastic Four was.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, that's the thing. The Guardians of the Galaxy movie we saw, nobody knew anything about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Not to mention the Guardians that we got in the movies were not the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they
team
weren't
the
big
comics.
Ones. They were like the C squad, right?
Well, these all
not even
they
the B
were,
squad. The
yeah,
C squad.
They were kind of side characters and stuff. I mean, and Gamora and Nebula have been around for a long time. Star Lord's been around, but as a team, and Drax, and they've all been around, but they've not been that lineup, that team.
Can you say team a little slower next time, please?
Team.
That's pretty close to what it was when he said it.
But yeah.
I wish we could record that. That would be so funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Dave's like, I have Dave. No idea what you guys are talking about because yeah. I sound perfect over here.
I do
here.
Sound perfect. It's the dulcet tones of my voice.
Now, I don't think anybody should be Mr. Whiny Pants right now because there's a lot of great movies that are coming out on the horizon, and they're not just Disney movies. Yes, there's right. a lot of good Disney movies coming out, but I really think that Brightburn is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see that.
It does look pretty cool.
And that's not an MCU.
No.
It's not even a DCU. That's not called DCU, though. What is it called?
Nothing anymore. They stopped their idea of the DCEU, DC Extended
Universe. Oh, they did?
Yeah,
why?
They're DC is not, from what I understand, they're not right now pursuing some kind of big connected universe. There will be movies that tie together, but right now they're just kind of focusing on making some good, fun stories with characters, which honestly I think is a good idea. I mean, it gives people a chance to maybe see some different characters they're not used to seeing aside from Batman and Superman. They're still going to get, you know, Wonder Woman's got a second one coming out. Aquaman will likely get a sequel.
Hopefully no more Batmans until they reboot it and it's actually good.
Well, and there's talk of a Batman going. I mean, what I'd love to see is that whole Batman Beyond story with Batman being an old man and retired and then a new younger kid comes in and he kind of trains the kid. And there's so much internet push that everyone wants to see Michael Keaton now as the retired Batman, who's kind of the grouchy old Batman that's training this kid. He'd be perfect for that role.
I think Val Kilmer would be more hilarious because he could be like a fat old dude.
I realized last week, you know, we did our Willow thing, and overall we had good things to say about it. But yeah, myself, I know I can take that one on the chin, but making a couple fat old man Val Kilmer jokes, and then I realized I tagged him on our Twitter post.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You're a dork.
I didn't realize it until after. Like, oh, shoot.
Did you untag him?
Like, he's going to listen.
No, he ain't going to listen.
Did you untag him?
I doubt he's
hey,
listening.
Hey, you're fat.
I mean, in all honesty, Val Kilmer, I was a good big fan of his, you know, early on. He hasn't done much lately, and we all age poorly, but I really doubt he's going to listen. So
I'll be your Huckleberry.
No, have you seen the latest trailer for the new live-action Aladdin?
No, not the new one.
We just did tonight. My wife said, hey, here's the new preview. So I ran over the TV and watched it with her. Mm-hmm. He's not blue in it.
Yeah, he will be, though.
They're going to add the blue in the theater?
No.
You got to put special glasses on, but otherwise...
No, I think there's some scenes where he's in non-blue form, but I saw a big trailer for it at the beginning of Endgame, and I've got to say it actually looks pretty good. You know,
I'm interested in seeing it.
I think I was kind of crapping on it, but it actually looks kind of fun.
I said before, I think Will Smith is a good choice for this.
Mm-hmm.
Personally. Yeah.
I am still waiting for I Am Legend 2, though. I'm really wanting to see that.
I Am Legend 2?
Yeah,
I like that
movie.
I thought I dug it, man.
Yeah.
Even the alternate ending. Did you watch the alternate ending?
Yeah, I'd prefer that one.
That was the one where he lived, right?
Yeah.
He gave the girl back and they didn't kill him.
Correct.
Or something like that.
Do you guys know I'm trying to look because there was a few movies I saw. I can't even remember what trailers I saw. But there's a couple coming out now with Endgame, and then, you know, from here through the summer, a couple real big movies coming out. I know Spider-Man, obviously. Aladdin's coming out. Oh, the X-Men Dark Phoenix, another story.
Yes,
there.
Yeah. Yes, that looks good.
I was telling
everybody at work that hadn't seen Endgame yet. I said, man, I couldn't believe they had Dark Phoenix and Phoenix in this. And man, she was powerful.
Which everybody just got ticked.
Yeah.
Pokemon's Detective Pikachu, which I don't know.
No.
I'm a fan of Who's Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is Pikachu, right?
Yeah. But I just don't know if I can. I'm not into Pokemon.
When's that new Godzilla movie coming out?
That's coming out this summer.
I think that looks awesome. And Dave's like, eh.
It looks visually
Titans.
I know, but it looks like it'll be visually very good. I'm just not sure if I'm into the story.
Of us that grew up with Godzilla, we're kind of excited to see it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's just on the street from me.
Yeah.
you went to the same high school, right?
Yep.
I'll definitely watch it, but we also have John Wick 3 coming out.
Oh, definitely.
In a couple weeks.
I can't wait. Oh, only a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I just saw it May 17th, I believe.
Ooh, just like a week before my birthday.
Brightburn's May 24th, Godzilla May 31st.
One day before my birthday.
X-Men.
I'm giving you guys hints of when my birthday.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys ever watch that Overlord movie?
No,
I have not yet.
I haven't watched that either.
What do we call them? Super reviews?
Super reviews.
Well, yeah. I heard our friends over at the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast, they were talking about it a little bit because I believe Willie bought it and hadn't watched it yet, but Anthony had watched it and said, you know, it's a very good movie. There's a lot of kind of weird, trippy stuff in there that's just kind of like, whoa, wasn't expecting that. And they've really built it up to be a lot more of a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he said
Yeah,
and he said when you watch it, though, it actually is actually quite a big chunk of it is actually a war movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like World War II or whatever. And so it's kind of a heavy influence war movie with horror elements in it. So
that's cool. I'll dig it.
Looks pretty cool. We also, can
you dig it?
Yeah, we've got. Is this true already? June 14th, the next Men in Black.
I
saw a trailer for it. It looked okay.
Looked all right. Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson. Is it? So Thor and Valkyrie.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Toy Story 4.
I hear
4.
The Tesseract's in it, too.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Probably. Yeah. Toy Story 4 is this summer, June 21st. Child's Play.
The Tesseract is around the cat's neck, just so you know.
Okay. Far From Home is in July, and then we get into later in the summer. Lion King is this summer. I mean, there is... We talked about 99, back in 1999, being a really good year for movies. 2019 is shaping up to be a pretty epic year.
It's nines. What is it with nines, man?
Because we still, I mean, after you get through everything, you still have sci-fi, Star Wars.
Yep.
You know, coming out. And August 2nd, Jason's been waiting for this one. He's got his calendar circled. These tickets are purchased already. Dora in the Lost City of Gold.
Yes! You know, we probably will see that, though, because specifically my oldest, she grew up with Dora and loved that. My middle one kind of watched a little bit. I don't think the youngest one ever did, but we'll probably see it. But you're missing the absolute biggest movie coming out before the end of the year.
What?
I'm just going to tell you the premise. So a unfrozen British super agent.
What kind of super agent?
An unfrozen British super agent.
British.
Sounded like you said it different that time.
Yeah, British. joins the Air Force because he wants to put some freaking laser beams in there.
Oh, Iron Eagle 5?
No, Rambo 5 comes out in September.
Oh, yeah.
Does it really?
According to IMDb, yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
It's the last one, too. Sylvester Stallone said this is the last one, at least with him.
It Chapter 2 comes out. But, Jason, what movie? Is there another Austin Powers coming?
Well, there is. There's another. I don't know when it's going to be released, though. I don't even know if they're filming it yet, Michael Myers said
so
yes.
not by the end of this year. Like
probably
you.
Not.
Joker.
But he also said they are doing another Wayne's World.
That would be
so,
awesome.
So maybe. He hasn't been doing much lately, so I guess he's like, I got to make some of that cash. What can I do? What can I pull out of my repertoire?
Wasn't he in Halloween?
Yes, he was.
I'm just checking.
You know, that latest one was pretty kick butt, too.
I haven't seen it yet.
Nor did I. Let's talk more about lasers, though.
Yeah.
Laser beams.
Because the Air Force is calling for a massive new Vanguard weapons program, including extremely advanced weaponry, and it sounds like lasers. Mm-hmm. Would be very cool. Hypersonics, lasers, networked cruise missiles, AI, smart bombs, cyber war.
Well, this all started way back with Ronald Reagan. He wanted to put Star Wars up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are with Star Wars Episode 9 coming out.
Yeah. And Ronald Reagan.
His dream has come true.
Not around to see it.
That's true.
Yep.
Jeez.
Moment of silence, please, for Mr. Reagan.
Ronnie, you're dead and gone, but we won't forget you for oh so long. Ronnie, you were the man. You brought down the wall and did the dab.
What are you doing?
No, there's this article.
I was drinking, you make me stop.
There's this article.
Don't dunk on the Reagan.
Yeah,
the Reagan.
the article. Oh, speaking of that. I just thought of something with Reagan. Have you guys watched it's on Netflix.
Bedtime for Bonzo?
It's super stupid and it's kind of fun, but weird. The Netflix original series, Wet Hot American Summer, First Day of Camp.
No,
it sounds like a porno. Go ahead.
It's not. It's got actually a pretty big cast of comedians and fairly well-known actors. But there's this part in the storyline where Ronald Reagan is in there. And
the real Ronald Reagan?
Someone pretending to be him. But instead of like this real nice guy, he's just like a super tough, like, I don't know, you know, really domineering guy. And he's actually, there's some big government conspiracy. They're dumping nuclear waste. I don't know stuff. He brings these like tanks and military in to just wipe out this summer camp of kids. It's pretty nuts. It's a funny portrayal of Ronald Reagan.
I might have to check that out.
You know, it's one of those series and shows that's, you know, there's the first day of camp and then there's the second season, I think was called 10 Years Later or something like that. And I think there was a movie as well, but it's just stupid, like hilarious. I mean, not always hilarious, just kind of stupid fun. But I mean, you have Elizabeth Banks, you have Chris Pine. Who else? There's a couple other big names in there. Janine Garofalo's in there. Number of other fairly, you'll recognize
Mike Birbiglia.
I don't know if he's in there, but I don't think so. But
Jim Gaffigan.
So the lasers they're pursuing.
Yes. Anyway, sorry. The lasers. There was an article in this article that we got linked. There is this paragraph that I did not realize this. It says laser weapons, for instance, are already deployed on Navy ships, yet also being developed for a range of future applications such as laser armed fighter jets or satellites. Now, I didn't realize we had Navy ships with laser weapons on them.
Is it technically a laser weapon or is it laser tracking
guidance
or
maybe?
Guidance, no. Yeah. They do have some weapons they've tested out where they can knock a missile out of the sky with them. The problem is I think they take a tremendous amount of power.
Right.
So
that is crazy. That
like four AAA batteries.
Don't
I thought
go
you were going to say, how many gigawatts?
1.21, maybe.
Perfect. Actually, they keep it down to 1.19 because they don't actually want to time travel.
Well, yeah, the flux capacitor's coming later.
That's true. And I heard that's not going to be a Navy tech. That's going to be more of like a Coast Guard.
Ooh, but I can't wait till they come out with a spore drive.
Yeah. Are we surprised at all? I mean, with the technology that we've got now, even down in our phones, to see all the advanced, you know, guidance systems and things like that. I'm sure the weapons industry is, you know, Tony Stark style is going really, really strong.
Well, you got to think if it's hitting, you know, news websites and stories, you know, in the general public, you have to think they're way more advanced than what they're letting on, obviously. And so it is, you know, to me, it was just kind of one of those things that I thought, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing because we're really seeing all of those things we saw as kids, you know, the X-Wing and TIE fighter, you know, air battles shooting lasers at each other. We could see that with, you know, whatever, I can't even think of the name of our regular jets, F-14s or whatever, you know, fighting the Russian MiGs or, I don't know, I'm just thinking of Top Gun right now and Iron Eagle. So
cats are going crazy.
What?
Huh.
Because of the lasers.
Oh, God. I got it. Ah, this guy.
Look at this guy here.
Woo. Yeah. Man.
Let's talk about MoviePass.
Oh, our favorite. Do we really need to?
Well, I thought this was interesting.
You
now,
love
it. I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to be honest. I mentioned it to you guys in the chat earlier because we were looking for stories and stuff for notes this week and you know, ideas and stuff to talk about. And everything, everywhere I looked was just dominated with Avengers Endgame and Game of Thrones. And rightfully so in some respects because, man, oh, man, if you're a fan of either of those two things, this weekend was incredibly mind-blowing, so crazy.
And Adam didn't see either of them because he was, you know, mopping.
Yep. Got it. Yeah, he had a little mouse problem or something, right?
Yep, and not the friendly kind that you hook into your USB port.
Are you sure it was a mouse or was it like Splinter training the turtles and they accidentally cut your...
It might have been the Ninja Turtles. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Oh, those guys. They thought it was pizza, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
No, but it was really hard to find other stories. But this one did jump out at me because after all of the epic failure from MoviePass, their founder is now saying, Stacy Spikes is her name, co-founded MoviePass, which as we know, failed miserably everything else. And what her new idea is, it's a new startup called Pre-Show, and she wants to basically give free movie tickets for people who first agree to watch ads.
Dave, real quick, Stacy Spikes is a man.
Oh, is it? Okay. Stacy's. Yeah. Okay, got
it's
it.
Like at least the picture I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah, it looks like it. Yep, okay.
Oh, no, it's just a really ugly woman, Dave.
No, I do apologize. I was just reading the text, not looking at the pictures.
No problem.
Kind of the opposite of what Jason does with those certain adult magazines. But what they want to do.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear. So Pre-Show, it's a new startup he's working on. And what they want to do is basically make you watch at least 15 minutes of video ads on your phone in order to get the free ticket.
I would do that because I just start it and I'd go walk away.
It's funny you asked that because the interviewer
asked. I didn't ask that. I just made a statement.
I know, but it's funny you say that because the interviewer who is speaking with Mr. Spikes about this says you get a free movie ticket after watching at least 15 minutes of video ads on your phone. What's to stop me from just leaving the ads running on a table? Here's where it gets.
Are you still here?
Here's where it gets. No, here's where it gets a little dicey. We had to build in facial recognition so that you can tell the person actually watched. If I look away, it can detect that. Even if you look away, it'll detect it. It'll pause if it doesn't see me for 5 seconds.
It might sound creepy, but for everybody that uses any app where it overlays something on your face, like as a joke, you know, Facebook photos, that's all built in. Recognizes your face. It's not too crazy.
No, and he said they're not recording it or anything like that.
Are they? But do you have to have your eyes open? Because I could actually hold it looking at it, but with my eyes closed. And
I will find a Halloween mask, set it in front.
Right? My daughter's, we got her one. She was really into, she's wanting to learn to do different hairstyles and stuff. So we got her one of those, it's like a mannequin head with hair that you can, you know, style basically. And it sits on a little, you know, it's got a little clamp that clamps onto the edge of a table or a desk. And it's just a, like a mannequin head, full size head there. I'll just clamp it up to that, let it run for like 7 hours and get a month's worth of free movies. But it's kind of weird because they're, you know, they're looking at it. They're not going to be short ads. They're talking about doing long form advertisements. You know, saying basically you'll get time to go into a story. Now, if you ask me, I mean, are these ads or are they going to be asking companies to create little, you know, short movies, short films. It's kind of crazy, but we'll see.
Can I? I just had to check this here because remember way back when we first started talking about MoviePass and how it was penny stock, and I was thinking about buying a whole bunch, and you know, in case they turned it around. Guess what it closed at today?
What?
0.003.
Not even a full penny. Wow.
How has this not been delisted? It's at 0.003. It doesn't make any sense. I thought you had to have a certain amount to even be listed in the, I don't even know what this is in. I don't follow stock all that much. The S&P or what is this in?
I don't know.
Something like that. But yeah, it's crazy. They're just grasping at straws here because they're making absolutely no money on this. And they never had a good plan. I don't even know what they were thinking. And speaking of that, there's been so many companies that have come out trying to do stuff similar that have closed down too. Have you been reading a lot about that? MoviePass, I can't even think of some of their names, but a lot of them have already closed down because there's no money in this. You can't make money. You can't let people watch all these movies for $10 a month.
Right. Well, that's where he figures this will be a different scenario because they're going off a model similar to what Facebook has and others have done, where it's not relying on a subscription process. It's keeping a basically ad revenue driven. So by forcing people to watch the ads, so many ad views get X amount of dollars for the company, which means X amount of dollars for the company turns into the cost of paying for the tickets plus presumably a profit. And so, I guess as far as it goes, it seems like it's a possibly little more stable idea long term. But I don't know. I think, like we talked about before, the whole idea with MoviePass, anything that's going to, even though it's a completely different service, you know, pre-show, it's still going to be associated with that horrible stain that MoviePass left as far as how terrible it went.
I don't know. I don't want to watch ads just to save a couple dollars. Just time is money, folks.
Yep. This is my opinion. True.
And, you know, Dave being unemployed, he does have a lot of time to do things like this, but the rest of us don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Dave watches every show known to man. He's got to
except
be
for Doctor Strange, other than that one.
True.
How the heck can you not have watched Doctor Strange? He's been in two Avengers movies now.
Well, I don't know. Just because I kind of know the story already.
Need to watch Avengers.
Yeah.
I didn't really. I just enjoyed it. I'll get around to it. I actually had every intention of watching it. Well, I had every intention of watching it last week and just could not. I had a busy week and could not find the time to watch much of anything last week.
He did watch 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton again.
Well, there's just some things you got to do on every Wednesday night.
9 to 5.
Guys, Jason, when you do the show notes, I've included the link to the Instagram going back to the beginning about Thanos and the Night King under the Avengers story. It was Instagram user goes by the name simply Cole, C-O-L-E.
Nat?
Nope, just C-O-L-E, at Cole.
Natalie?
No.
Okay.
Instagram.com/Cole. It's all it is. He's a kind of graphic digital artist. Really cool.
C-O-A-L?
C-O-L-E.
Dave's going to punch us through the microphone.
You couple of sons of...
Right now he's Googling how to kill fellow podcasters from other states.
How to send electrical shocks through the internet.
Well, the good thing here, Adam, is he'll probably forget about it, you know, that we were teasing him here when he's playing video games.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe.
Have you guys seen this article on the a video game that can detect early stages of Alzheimer's better than medical tests?
I sure did. Tell us about it.
Dave put it in there.
Well,
Dave was the show note kid this week.
There's a smartphone app called See Hero Quest, and a new study used that to monitor how gamers with and without a genetic predisposition to Alzheimer's navigate the virtual world, according to CNN, using their thumbs to move a little boat through a series of maritime mazes. So they're using this to test, you know, memory and everything like that.
Yeah, and what's kind of brilliant about it is because I guess this game, you've got to navigate, you know, these big open areas here. And one of the big tests they use for dementia and Alzheimer's and one of the early indicators is kind of the inability, you lose the ability to handle spatial navigation. You know, you kind of take the long way around, you know, not intentionally, but, you know, your brain just stops working in that way. And so that's one of the key factors they recognize. And they realize with this game that it actually can help indicate, you know, a little bit as far as how the people are navigating through the game, on if they're showing markers for potential Alzheimer's, you know, symptoms down the road. It's kind of an interesting tie.
They actually should have used Ark Survival Evolved for this.
Oh my God. Now, this was specifically
memory
built,
test indeed.
this game was specifically built for this purpose.
Right.
So it led them to having one of the largest, what they're calling the largest dementia study in history with 4.3 million players. And they're also upfront about that they want to collect data.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to collect a whole lot of data here.
Can you opt out of the data collection and just play the game?
I'm guessing you can.
Probably not.
But
here he
games.
Is upset about that, but he's willing to watch 15 minutes of ads to get free
It says
movies.
It lets them decide whether to allow it.
Okay.
Allow Sweet. Researchers to collect data about how they maneuvered through the virtual world.
Right.
But I don't know how they know who's got dementia, who's down...
Well, when they did their...
Do you have dementia?
No. Well, that's the thing. This is showing kind of early potential symptoms because not necessarily saying you have it at the moment, but saying that indicators are showing you may, so you may want to get checked. When they did their test, they had a control group of, I forget how many people it was.
Control.
20, I think it was 300 people and two monkeys.
No, it says they... They ended up with 4.3 million players, setting the stage for what they call the largest study in history. But then they homed in on data from more than 27,000 players between ages 50 and 75, the group at highest risk of developing Alzheimer's symptoms within a decade. And then that's how they kind of did it. And then from there, they compared those results with the performance of 60 people in a lab setting, 31 with the APOE4 gene, which increases Alzheimer's risk, and 29 without it. And that's from the article here on CNN. But
now, 75, they were born in the 50s, maybe late 40s.
Sure, but it's a mobile phone game.
Yes, but I've met people like that. They don't want those newfangled games. I can play that thing. The AM radio.
Well, listen to him blast that, but we know for a fact that his mom... who is at least more than 50. I don't want to guess her age or say her age.
She is 68.
So she's young. She's right in that group. And when I was over there helping you guys out with the computer, fixing it, we were doing so she could get Ark running better. So I don't want to hear about any old people not playing games because it happens all the time, I think. Not
my mother,
all the time, but.
My mother, when she was in her 40s, purchased a Gold Star 3DO console, which was over $500.
Nerd.
Nerd alert.
Yeah, that was a fun evening. I went over and did the most simple repair for help Jason out, replaced a fan, and it took me like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, because we did the fan, I fixed something on their camera they had, and then got their...
Tablet going
and their webcam and microphone going for them for Skype and stuff. I mean, literally 15, 20 minutes of stuff, and it was pretty much done. And then sat there for the next, I don't know, couple hours just visiting, catching up. They fed me a bunch of food.
What'd they make you?
Oh, we just had a big, it was like a big like meat and cheese tray and stuff. A lot of good stuff on there.
Ah.
Summer sausage and cheeses.
Oh, I love summer sausage.
Fresh vegetables
in the winter.
It was fun because back in the day, I used to, you know, spend a lot of time over there when you still were up here, Jason, because we'd hang out over there all the time when you were living there for a while. And we were always over there. And then I hadn't seen him for a few years. And they're like, when the last time we saw your wife, she was big and pregnant.
Big and pregnant.
I was like, yeah, it's been a while.
She wasn't just a big from being pregnant. She was big and pregnant.
Yep. A little bowling ball.
Well, this is a very cool story.
Yes.
Which story? The one about my parents or this Alzheimer's
one? The video game one. Gosh. And the one about your mom playing Ark.
Technically, we're both video game stories.
That's very true.
On brand.
So Apple's been quietly deleting parental control apps from the App Store.
Yeah, what is this all about?
And I finally have a contribution to the show notes with this article.
Finally. Well, next week it's all Adam. We're announcing it today. Every story that we cover on next week's show will be Adam provided.
We're going to talk about baked goods next week.
It's the Adam show.
Ooh, this could be fun. Like, just totally random, whatever Adam brings. And then we've got to go into it like totally serious, like... Approach it like we would any other show.
I won't even give you guys show notes. I'll just start talking.
Hey, that's fine. We can do it, man.
You seriously want to do that?
We're challenge professionals. Episode? Yes. Yeah, challenge all right, accepted. All right.
So this week it'll be me. We're going to redo that with you guys next.
Oh, boy.
Time.
Oh, I did today's. So I'm off the hook.
Hey, I put an article in there.
Yeah, you did one.
I put an article in there. That, by the way, that was Adam's first article in over a year.
It's like in Stand By Me where Vern brings, it's like, I brought the comb. He brought nothing.
I thought you were
going to
say
party.
Vern Troyer.
No.
Rest in peace.
No. Anyway, the reason this article caught my attention earlier this year, I was looking for a replacement app for my parental controls for my kiddo's computer, or not her computer, but her phone. And so I was hunting for new apps, and one of the big ones that's highly reviewed is QStudio, or Custodio is what it's called.
Custodio. Yeah.
Yeah, QStodio. But apparently, Apple is deeming a lot of these applications, including that one from what I can see here, to be a safety risk and a security issue because it's technically what they call MDM software or mobile device management. Now, if you work for a business where you use their phone, I can almost guarantee you've got mobile device management on your smartphone.
And there's ways to get around that, but we won't get into that right now.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I personally do not recommend doing it.
I second that.
You can be in violation of company policy, and it's not a good idea. So anyway.
Yeah, Dave.
MDM software is used to control what apps can or can't go on there, you know, how the company's data is managed, all that stuff. Now, businesses often use that, but for apps in the App Store, Apple's looking at this like a violation of App Store policy. For a private, and this is their words, for a private customer-focused app business to install MDM control over a customer's device. Beyond the control that the app itself can exert over the user's device, research has shown MDM profiles could be used by hackers to gain access for malicious purposes. So they're kind of citing that as their reasons.
So but do we have to sign like a waiver that we are parents and it is our child's phone and then it would be cool?
I don't know. Apple has always supported third-party apps on the App Store that help parents manage their kids' devices, but I think when it comes to this, you know, they're cracking down on it. So earlier this week, developers for Kids Lock.
No, this is tying into what Adam's about to say. Before we get into that, does Apple have, because I'm just not even sure, does Apple have its own app for this?
Apple has a screen time limiter, I believe, but not to the level of these parental apps.
Okay. I asked that because it's important to what you're about to say, I think.
Yeah. And so developers for Kids Lock and Custodio, two apps designed to help with parental controls, filed antitrust complaints against Apple in the EU, according to The Verge.
Yeah.
I actually have to go look at that one to see if, I think it's because Apple's cracking down on that stuff. The reason this caught my attention, of course, like I said, I was looking for a new app, and ultimately the one I landed on was Zift. And that's my recommendation for an app for today, which is it's kind of an awesome parental control app that uses like NetNanny's parental filter.
Will it be removed though from the Apple Store?
See, that's time will tell. You know, I almost went with that Custodio one and I went with this one instead. And my daughter's phone is not an Apple, so I don't have to worry about that. But for anybody else, you got to be careful with
second.
The Apple stuff.
Does your daughter then has an Android, I'm assuming, not a Windows one.
Yep.
Well, there is some awesome parental stuff built right into Android.
Is there?
I mean, really good stuff. You might have to check that out. Maybe I'll send you some links on how to set it up.
Yep. Well, I had a specific goal. My wife and I both have iPhones. My daughter's got an Android. I want to be able to control and access all that stuff from my iPhone.
You wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, then that's where a third-party product like Zift comes in handy because the parental app, it doesn't matter. It's platform independent. So I can see... the sites she's tried to hit, it's automatically blocking categories. You got the scheduler.
Text messages. Does it allow you to see your text messages?
No, this one doesn't do that. It's not that integrated. It's not going to send me a copy of her texts and stuff like that. But it's taking care of the big stuff. The other piece, like we've talked about before, is talking to your kids about stuff. And I will just take her phone and look through it.
What's the cost of this bad boy?
This one, they have a free version, but the premium version, which actually gives you all the features you would want, is $60 a year.
It's a five. Yeah, that's not too bad.
So I've really enjoyed this, and this Zift was, like I said, I think they were owned by NetNanny before.
Yeah, that's what it's saying right here. It says now includes NetNanny for PC or Mac.
Yeah, so the NetNanny's got a long, I mean, we're talking way, way back history of
okay.
That was back when she went by her other name of, what was it, Fran?
Yeah.
Fran Drescher.
Hey,
what are you doing on that website?
Is this $5 a month? Is this per device or is this per account with unlimited devices?
That's a good question. I think I have the option to install on multiple devices for the one price. So if you purchase it, it looks like you can block apps, block internet content in 14 categories, and 30 days of location history. How many where does it actually say?
Because, I mean, this would be something nice, but, you know, a lot of people have more than one kid.
Right, exactly.
Usually.
This ain't China.
And I will also say the GPS locator on this is nice and quick compared to some of the other ones I've used. So that's
you know
awesome.
Exactly where your child is at all times.
Yeah, if you want to.
Well, you wouldn't want to?
Well, very sure.
Cool. Jason.
I'm saying not everybody would want to.
Since we were talking about this here, do you have an app? I mean, it doesn't have to be the same kind of app. I guess before we move on, was there anything else on the parental control story we wanted to talk about?
No, just be aware if you're an Apple user and you're trying to use a product like that. See, the one I had been using before, I can't remember the name of it. I had bought and I was paying $60 a year. I think it was the one that you had recommended a couple, like last year.
Yeah,
Jason.
And I can't remember the name of it either, but I used it for a long time too.
It stopped working.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, I couldn't monitor the stuff anymore. I ended up having to uninstall it and cancel the subscription.
Right.
And that was, I think, because of the Apple move. So.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see because, you know, in the story, even though they call it a flashback, although they're talking about just last weekend here, but the New York Times came out and kind of blasted Apple and saying, look, Apple targeted 11 of the 17 most popular apps. And that's why I was asking if they had their own, you know, app that they were looking at these as competitors and now pulling some shady business. But so we'll have to see. Apple says it wasn't competition, but for security reasons, well...
See, now, I'm reading this here. It says updates on apps used, but what I would like is for the program to, whenever my daughter's tried to install an app, it would send me alert and say, your daughter is trying to, such and such device is trying to install and list the name of the app. Do you approve or disapprove? And that I would like, because then I could hit, you know, I could be at work or whatever. I get the pop-up and I go, hello, kitties, adventure time. I can hit approve. But if it's like Deathmonger Porn Strike, I can hit disapprove.
Deathmonger Porn Strike?
Yeah.
Is that your new punk band?
It is.
You better go register that domain. By the way, Zift, it's unlimited devices from what I
can see. Okay, cool. So very cool. $60 a year, unlimited devices. That is, does this work on tablets too then?
It should, yeah.
It says Fire there, so I'm assuming.
Fire.
Now available for Apple, Android, and Fire. So I'm assuming they mean not the Fire phones. I'm assuming they mean
tablets. The nice thing is that the parental app, it's independent of the child's device, right? So it makes it way, way easier.
Yeah. Hey, I might have to give this a try. It looks like something I'd be interested in. Now, Dave, you had asked me about an app that I recommend, and I do recommend one, and it's basically just for you Android users out there, because you can't do this in iOS, unfortunately. This is something I missed when I was with the iPhone here for a while. The stock SMS programs are just kind of bland, they get the job done, but they have no pizzazz. no, Bazinga, as you know, someone once said. And I've tried
Kermit, right?
No.
That wasn't Kermit that said that?
No, it wasn't Kermit. But I've tried Bazinga. A lot of them, and I've installed, and I'm using now Pulse SMS. Now, what's different about Pulse SMS is it not only does it work on, you know, a wide variety of items, except iOS, unfortunately, but it, you know, like the Android tablets, phones, Android TV. It does say iOS, but you can't install a third-party SMS system. That's weird. Anyways, what this does is it allows you to, you know, do all your text messaging, you know, through your carrier, through this. It's just a different interface. It looks really nice. But it allows you to install on Mac OS or Windows or Linux or Chrome OS the Pulse SMS app. So you can actually, from your phone, I mean, from your computer, your home computer, be texting people with your phone number. And it syncs it all. So, like, say I'm on my PC and I'm texting you guys with my carrier's, you know, my phone number's texting, and it syncs it all with my phone too. So it's always up to date. It's sort of like what, you know, how like if you have a Mac OS and iOS, when you text each other in Messenger or Messages, is that what it's called? It shows up in both of them. And I used to be able to text you guys when I had iOS from my Mac. Well, this allows, if you're an Android user, to do the same thing from your Mac too. That's probably, no, it says iOS, not Mac OS. But anyways, I have it installed on Mac OS and Windows, and I've been texting you guys, you know, from my computer too.
Oh, cool.
Very
yeah,
cool.
It's a cool little thing, and it's you can do it for free, and I had the free one, but then it was like $4.99 I think for a full year, and it gives you some extra benefits. So I'm like $5. I just did it.
Right.
I think the syncing is to be able to sync it between the devices. It's $5. So I just did that. You know, I just that's you know, bad. I'm Mr. Rich Guy. I don't need that double quarter pound of cheese. I just get myself a year of Pulse SMS.
Meanwhile, when I talked to Jason the other day,
shut it. I don't ever do that. No, as Dave was going to tell you, and I'm going to explain it to everybody right now. I am a diabetic, so I have to watch my carb intake, and I usually try to stick to under 50 grams of carbs a day. But, you know, I still need to feel that full feeling. And anybody that's taken carbs out of their life has realized that, hey, carbs is what gives you that full feeling. You could eat 13 steaks and not feel as full as if you eat, you know, a sandwich with bread.
I think 13 steaks would you.
I might be exaggerating right. A tad, but I do seem to be more hungry all the time. So what I do is if I'm going to get a burger, you know, I'm going to have carbs. You know, I'm going to have a regular bun that has about 30 grams of carbs. You know, I'm really going to get my burger's worth, you know, because I'm going to take those carbs in, but I'm not going to eat fries because I can't take all those carbs. So I'm going to eat a big burger. So I'm going to eat like a double quarter pounder with cheese, add bacon. And Dave's laughing because that's what I had the other day when I was talking to him was a double quarter pounder of cheese.
And I may have given him a lecture about, you know.
Cholesterol. Yeah,
there's probably better options than hitting that bacon double quarter just because you can't have the fries.
There's not a lot of better tasting options, I'll tell you that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
You gotta, so, Dave, do you have an app?
You know,
it's the McDonald's app.
Yeah. Actually, if you use the McDonald's app, you get great deals every day. No.
See, look at, he knows.
No,
I'm loving it.
I don't use that. I was looking at my phone since earlier today, and I'm realizing I don't really use a ton of different apps like that.
What?
Kind of like productivity type apps, you know, stuff like that.
I use Notepad and email.
No, I use.
Dave
does
code in Notepad all day, though.
Yeah, on my phone. No, it's I use a lot of stuff like Google Docs and the standard stuff, you know, social media, Instagram, Twitter. I use the Flipboard app a lot. That's a fun place I like to go to get news. But the one I probably use lately more than anything, this will be no shock to anyone, is it's a photo app, you know, photo editing app.
What?
Yeah, and so it's, I don't edit photos on my phone very often. I mean, like my real camera, do, quote unquote.
I prefer Dos Equis.
Yeah. No, but when I snap stuff with my cell phone, I will run that through editing, and I find I use an app. It's not brand new. It's been around a while. It's called RNI Film. RNI stands for Really Nice Images. kind of a silly name, but they actually have a very, very good app where it kind of simulates, say, well, not kind of, it's their take on simulating classic film stocks. So you get some really nice, clean colors. It's not super, you know, heavy. Some of them can be a bit much, but you get options to dial things back. And plus you get your full exposure settings, highlights, midtones, contrast, all that kind of stuff, pre and post, you know, color temps and tinting and all of that. So you can really do a lot with the photos if you want. But I like it just because it gives me kind of a good, consistent look for what I like to do. And it's the closest thing I've found. I mean, I know I could go in and install the Lightroom Mobile, Lightroom CC, and sync up my desktop presets, and it's just a lot of monkey business because I don't shoot that much on my phone. Yeah, exactly. And so I don't really feel like doing all that. So I just use this, and it does a nice job for anything I do with my cell phone when I'm snapping photos or anything like that. So RNI Films, that's my recommendation.
Nice. I like it. Hey, I'm going to try that out. And also, what time is it?
It's time for a kickoff.
So, keeping in theme with what we've been looking at, we've been doing these, you know,
since Jason doesn't keep it in tune.
Right. This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Right. No, keeping in that theme, though, we've been doing the, you know, who's got your back or whatever we've been calling it, kind of face off, you know, one on one. And I thought, you know what? Let me do a little different twist on it. And I apologies. I mean, no offense to women. This is just a funny title that popped in my head.
This is not going to go well.
I can't say the actual words, so I'm going to call this Don't Cross This Ditch, but it rhymes with ditch. The 90s Women of Rock and Pop Edition, and I'm going to go give you some names over which of these women of rock and pop from the 90s you would least want to cross because you know they're going to F you up.
Oh, boy.
All right?
Okay.
You ready?
Britney Spears, go.
No, first one. Now these are some real, real bad women that will mess you jammos up. All right. So first up, I want to know which one would you most fear crossing, Toni Braxton or Mariah Carey? Which one's gonna mess you up the most if you cross them?
Probably Mariah Carey. I'm just gonna go with that.
Those high notes will slice you to pieces.
Yep, she can go so many octaves up. She'd just break a glass.
But Toni Braxton has some funky, weird powers, you know.
Yeah, but Mariah Carey's ex-husband will probably mess you up.
Which one?
Who's that?
Nick Cannon?
Nick Cannon. There we go.
The drumline dude.
Oh, they're not together anymore.
Dude. I know him from, America's Got Talent.
Who cares about that show?
Well, until they fired him. But
yeah. So you're both saying Mariah Carey?
I don't know. I mean, give me a Toni Braxton song real fast.
Unbreak My Heart.
Don't go unbreaking my heart.
No.
Oh, okay.
Wrong.
Sing it. Give me a few bars.
No, I'm not singing Unbreak My Heart. I don't have a voice for that anyways.
Oh, okay.
Adam, do it for me.
Unbreak my heart. Say you love me again.
I don't think I know that song. No. There's got to be another Toni Braxton song I know.
I don't know. She was big in the 90s. I know that. I don't remember her songs. It wasn't in my wheelhouse.
Well, let's just go with Mariah Carey because, yeah, she hits those high notes and, you know, it sometimes will make your belly button pucker. I don't know what I'm saying. What
the hell does that mean?
I have no idea.
All right, next set of...
All right, next up, I want to know about the woman who wrote Criminal versus Meredith Brooks, who wrote the I'm a ditch with a D, but you know, I can't say it. I'm not cursing.
Because I'm a criminal.
No, Fiona Apple versus Meredith Brooks.
Oh, Fiona Apple's so slight and tiny.
Yeah.
Meredith. I'm gonna go with Meredith. Brooks. Is she country?
No. It's kind of pop rock.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the name of the song because it's a
well, I understand word. What the song is. I you know, your innuendo is, you know, out the window.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so clever with replacing the word with ditch. Yes. Digging a ditch.
I thought you meant stitch.
Stitch, no.
With Lilo.
Do you not know her song?
Yeah, it's because I'm a stitch. I'm a lover. Yep, yep. I'm a zibber. I'm a zibber. Yep. I'm a zibber. I'm a zibber.
Yep.
You know, Fiona Apple's more edgy than that, though.
Yeah.
Maybe she probably has a knife.
And she seems like the type that would cut you because she's got just that that big bass line bottom. Boom, boo, doo, 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 doo,
was she
doo,
the
boom,
one that sang the bird fly away thing?
No, Fiona Apple sang Criminal.
I don't know how that goes. Give me a few
you're
bars.
You're thinking of somebody completely different.
Give me a few bars.
I can't do it.
The only Criminal that I could think of is Eminem.
Oh my God.
You can't think of Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal?
No, I've never heard that. I don't know. Let's go with Meredith Brooks because I think you know, she called herself a snitch. So, you know.
You think so? Hold on. We can't play this. Listeners, you'll know what this is. We can't play this live, but here's the song, Jason. You have never heard that song.
Never heard that song.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
Sorry, man.
Some good stuff there. So,
well, you know what I was listening to in the 90s,
I think David and I are going with Fiona. I think she's
I think Fiona's going to take it. All right, you should know both of these then. Next one up, Gwen Stefani versus Jewel.
Oh, Jewel, man, because, I mean, she's always getting into scraps. That's how she lost half a tooth.
That's SoCal.
Jewel's from the streets.
That's SoCal attitude versus the yodeling minstrel.
Jewel's
does she
from
want to be described like that?
I don't know.
The yodeling minstrel?
I'm going to Google that right now. The yodel.
I just said that because she has that yodeling tone in her voice a lot.
You just invented a new term, Dave.
Heck yeah, I did.
It's just oh, wait, no. Texas troubadour Ernest Tubb, the yodeling minstrel.
Ah, yeah, me and my roots.
Oh, no. The yodeling minstrel is Al Tint, the world champion. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yep. He's a yodeler.
I got to go Gwen Stefani on this
oh,
one.
Oh, no. Gwen Stefani weighs like 37 pounds soaking wet.
And what
she's
is Jewel?
Just a girl.
What is Jewel? Yeah. A super ripped 275?
No, but Jewel outweighs her.
Jewel
and
is
like I said,
275?
She's scrappy.
Jewel did live on the streets, but I still think Gwen Stefani's got that unpredictability. Yeah.
So no, Jewel listeners don't agree with Jason on this one.
Gwen Stefani's a pop star now. Jewel.
She is, but in the 90s.
Jewel's had to fight.
She was doing spider webs and she was doing the crazy punk ska thing. Now she's married to Blake Shelton. I mean, whatever.
So she could totally beat somebody.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next one up. Where it's taking Jewel on that one?
I'm taking Jewel.
Jewel. Okay. So next one up.
Who will save your soul? Oh, hey, Jewel. Why are you stealing my voice from me?
Who was that? Sean Colvin? No, who's saying that? Who will save your soul? No, Jewel. Was that her?
That was Jewel.
That was Jewel. I was thinking of the Sunny Came Home, that lady.
Oh.
Something different. Oh. Yeah, never mind. So next up, Adam, you mentioned it earlier. We've got Alanis Morissette versus Sheryl Crow.
You ought to know.
Now you got to give us a representation of Sheryl Crow's hits. You did Alanis. Give us Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow.
I mean, I know.
Why
she
am
likes,
I blanking?
She likes I'm soaking up the sun. She peels labels off of buds or whatever.
Yeah, I'm still gonna go with Alanis.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Sheryl Crow because I heard she beat a lot of men.
What?
Huh?
What was that, an idea for a joke?
I feel like we're gonna get like hate feedback on this episode.
No, you just have to Google stuff and you'll figure out what I'm talking about.
Well, I know she was married to Lance Armstrong, but I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not worried about that. Sheryl Crow's big hits. Let's see.
First cut is the deep.
See, she knows about cutting.
Her big one was All I Want to Do.
All I Want to Do, yep.
Let's have some fun.
Yep.
Beating all up Alanis.
All I want to do is have some fun.
Yeah, but Jewel had, Jewel.
Alanis. She had that jagged little pill.
I'm going to pick Jewel for this one, too.
Jagged
she
little
pill. She was very angsty.
She was, but it didn't last long. Because she had Jagged Little Pill, You Oughta Know, Anger, 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 mixed with Ironic and Hand in My Pocket.
Little known fact about Ironic, which should be a known fact now if you have the internet. Mm-hmm. But Alanis did come out years later, I mean, probably a decade or so later, and said, the funny thing about that song is everything that I thought was ironic technically isn't ironic.
Right.
It isn't the definition of irony.
Right. Still a good tune. Yeah. I'm going with Alanis also, though.
All right.
I'm going with The Crow.
The Crow.
Well, yeah.
Alanis Morissette.
Brandon. So.
Alanis
Brandon
takes it. All right.
Well, Alanis is Morris Day in the Time.
Yeah, Morris Day.
All right, so in true WWE fashion, before we get to the main event, we've got to have a good tag team match. So let me know which one of these you would not want to cross. The Spice Girls versus Destiny's Child.
Well, Spice Girls, there's more of them.
Well, worry about the numbers. We're talking attitude and the ones that you think would be most likely to mess you up.
Oh, and then Destiny's Child, because those chicks hated each other.
Yeah, but that
it really
that
mess
could
you
mean
up.
They were too busy fighting amongst themselves to focus on an enemy. Although
possibly, but you know, are you going to be very scared of, you know, coming up against Baby Spice?
I'll tell you
Posh
what I want.
Spice? I mean, Scary Spice, I can understand. Maybe Sporty a little bit. But the other ones don't really scare me.
I don't know. See, the Spice Girls had the world domination thing, though. All around the world or whatever it was called.
No, that's a Statues Crumble for me?
No.
No. All around the world.
Not Sugar Ray, no.
Oh, I thought that was Suge Knight.
No, but Destiny's Child, you know, they were a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, that's a,
what
that's
are you
a,
doing,
that's
Adam?
A, that's a I, close one. I don't know.
Who's winning? You got to pick a winner somewhere.
All right. I'm going to go Destiny's Child on that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Agree with me. Because I'm the bomb, diggity, no doubt.
All right. And in true fashion. Yeah.
Chiggity, chiggity, check me before you wiggity, riggity, wreck me. What does that mean?
Wicka, wicka.
In true fashion, then, main event style, we've got Courtney Love versus Ani DeFranco, or DeFranco, I'm sorry.
I don't know who Ani DeFranco is, but Courtney Love is one messed up.
I have to also Google
Stitch.
Ani DeFranco. What did she sing?
Oh, you don't know her?
I know.
I remember her. She was huge back in the 90s.
Oh, some big fat tubby?
No. She wasn't. Oh, she wasn't super nice. Super mainstream.
Okay, hipster.
She's very much a like alternative music, poet, songwriter, activist. But she was very, very much like an in a lot of ways angry, not in a derogatory way, and like angry feminist of the 90s, like. Even though her songs weren't like hard rock necessarily all the time, but
boy, Courtney Love though,
yeah,
I don't know,
she's
pretty.
She would knife you just for looking at her.
Yeah, I'm gonna give.
I mean, here's some quotes from Ani DeFranco before you solidify that. Any tool is a weapon if you hold it right. I know there's strength in the differences between us. I know there is comfort where we overlap. So she's kind of conflicting herself there. So I mean. She talks about weapons. She talks about, you know. I can't believe you guys don't know who she is.
I don't. Sorry, man.
Crazy.
Here's a Courtney Love quote. If you treat a girl like a dog, she's going to piss on you.
That's
so
the thing.
I'm going with Courtney Love.
Yeah, I think Courtney Love is just flat out don't give a flying you know what and Hanover. Crazy. Well, she'll just fly right into a fight, no matter if it's against a you know another woman her size or Dave Bautista. She ain't gonna care if she's mad, like an angry biker chick type, you know.
The Planet Killer or World Killer or what was his? What was he called?
Dave Bautista, the wrestler.
Yeah, but
I know I'm not talking
the Destroyer. Drax, the
not
Destroyer.
Talking about
yeah, Drax the Destroyer, yeah,
the Planet Killer. Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
I couldn't remember what he
Good
was called.
Good night.
Jeez.
No, he wasn't a knight in this at all.
All right.
So there we have it, a 90s
yep.
ladies edition.
I like it.
All ladies, all the time.
Oh, jeez.
What the heck, Jason? Oh, man. Hey, real quick, at the beginning of this episode and the beginning of last one, we need to give some credit to Barry Leach, our guest, our music-making guest, for taking one of our old intros and completely reworking it into that awesome thing you heard at the beginning. Just absolutely amazing work, and we're so proud to have that sound from him for us. So,
absolutely.
We just want to thanks, Barry. We just want to thank you very much for that. And
you demand, Barry.
That's great. You demand. So before we put the lid on the soup, folks, stick around. In today's Digital Soup Unsigned Music Spotlight, we have got My Darkest Hour by Auburn Roe. And Auburn Roe is a Philadelphia-based rock quartet who formed in 2017, with frontman and keyboardist Alex Cross and lead guitarist Mike Racine being the founding members of the project in 2012. They were joined by bassist Jack Sinoski and drummer Adam Shumsky. The group produces a sound comparable to rock heavyweights Breaking Benjamin, Alter Bridge, and Mastodon. Music Connection magazine praised the band's prog rock precision and emphasized the group's soulful subtleties. The group is currently writing new material with plans to enter into the studio late 2019 for a full-length effort. So we are going to have a link to Auburn Roe's Facebook page in our show notes. Again, that track is called My Darkest Hour. Be sure to check that out. And to check out all things Digital Soup, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com, where you can find all the information you ever wanted to possibly know about everything we've ever done in our lives.
Well, at least wow, the life of lives of this podcast.
Under the context of Digital Soup Podcast. So we have links to our social media out there. We've got some extra articles and all kinds of cool stuff. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to us. And that would be awesome if you did that. Leave us a review on iTunes, and we will try to read that over the air for you. So, again, check it out, digitalsouppodcast.com. We thank you guys as listeners, you guys and gals, and we look forward to seeing you next time. So stay safe out there. Have an awesome week, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Kids Lock.
Kids Lock.
Well, they got shut down by Apple.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.